Shalom Aleichem to all who are tuning in to the Interpreter's Pulpit podcast. This is Lazar and Gosling teaching nothing new, but all things original. A messianic voice crying, "In the religious wilderness prepare the way for the Lord Yehovah. Make the beaten path a smooth and straight highway. Clear the road for our God's soon advent." God is love. But what does that mean? Most people who believe in the existence of God have their own personal view of his personality, nature, and character. Some perceive God as being a very tolerant elderly grandfather figure, glued to a throne and replete with a very long white beard, while others view God with an inner sense of immense foreboding. The late rabbi Wayne Dussek was right when he suggested that a beach ball with the coloured pen panels could be likened to the way people view the Creator. By focusing only on one particular coloured panel, one could become mistaken to consider that the panel represented all there was to God. To hang on to that one panel as the truth about God's personality, nature and character is to distort, deform and traduce an otherwise authentic image of the Creator Yehovah. In fact, it is not merely an entirely unbalanced notion, but it's totally myopic and indeed idolatrous. You know, we all need to arrive at the fact that our sovereign God is the source of all, as Dussek realized, and which he stated in his remarkable little volume, The Real Name of God, quote, "God is the everything of everything, the wholeness, the totality, the oneness of the universe. Male and female, light and dark and shadow, us and other, justice and compassion, pain and comfort, sense and nonsense, good and evil, anger and tranquility, indifference and passion, joy and sorrow, tragedy and triumph, right and wrong, yes and no, conflict and harmony, war and peace, vengeance and incredible love, life and death, and life eternal. This is the absolute reality of God's being and ours." Unquote. Paul, analyzing the life of the Lord Yeshua, speaks of love and communicates quite lavishly on its expression. Likewise, John wrote God is love twice for emphasis in his first epistle. Disturbingly, there are many unbelieving believers today, as there have been in the past, who fear God and in a manner of speaking are actually terrified of him. This has largely been due to interpreting God in the image of their own human parent or negatively precarious religious exposure to some church organization or quasi-Christian sect or cult in their formative years. But if God is love, as John expressed, then thanks ought to be directed to the Holy Spirit, the Ruach of God, for inspiring Paul to write voluminously about love. We can take his thoughts, as he expresses them, in the Bible's love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and substitute God for every mention of love. If we were to do so, this would be the outcome. If you want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 4 through to 8, this is what we would read. God endures long with us and is patient and kind. God never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display himself haughtily. God is not conceited, arrogant and inflated with pride. God is not rude and unmannerly. God does not act unbecomingly. God does not insist in his own rights or on his own way, for he is not self-seeking. He is not touchy or fretful or resentful. He takes no account of the evil done to him, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. God is always other enriching. God does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. God bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. His hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and he endures everything without weakening. God never fails. His love never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. I am basing that on the tentative BRIIMCF version. I have on numerous occasions stated that I find immense difficulty comparing the God of the Hebrew Scriptures and even with the God revealed by Matthew, Mark, and to some extent Luke. But the Apostle John, the priestly John, writing his Gospel long after the death of the original Apostles and well after the fall of the Jerusalem Temple, takes the bull by the horns and sees in our Lord Yeshua the stark realization in human form of the Eternal One, Hashem, the Logos, concerning whom he launched his Gospel with his prologue. In Yeshua we have the final revelation and manifestation of our creative, infinitely loving and intelligent God, who appeared to humankind way back in the Second Temple period, and who will soon reappear to us and for us at the conclusion of the age. God is love, and John's Gospel proclaims him as such. So now, as believers, we have trod from the brutal dawn of time through to a wrathful God of Sinai, as projected by heavenly angels, and then to the prophets until we come to the coming of God in the flesh, who came to earth to reveal himself once and for all to hapless humankind. Yeshua, as both God's Son and the Son of humankind. As it is written in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Messiah, conciliating the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. I'm going to repeat that because it's out of the Bible itself. You can read it yourself in your own word of God. Not counting people's sins against them, and has committed unto us the message of reconciliation. Through John and the later writings of the Apostle Paul, we have arrived at a theological evolutionary impasse. The result is a loving, kind, accepting God. None of us should fear our Lord Yeshua, the manifestation of divine love. Rather, we ought to be excited about his anticipated second advent, when he will embrace us in loving arms of compassion and understanding of our human plight, honestly grasping in his comprehension what it is to be human. It is then high time to relinquish and surrender our past time-worn concepts of God, and to accept and adopt and to promulgate these better teachings of our awesomely great salvific creative God. Come, Lord Yeshua, Baruch Hashem. The ancient prayer says, from the cowardice that shrinks from new truth, from the laziness that is content with half-truth, from the arrogance that thinks it knows all truth, O God of truth, deliver us. Unlock the secrets of the Bible. Solve the mysteries of the biblical revelation. Explore the astonishing realms of infinite intelligence. Enjoy the advancement you will attain as a spiritual being having a human experience in this material world. We invite you to traverse the contents of this ancient book we call the Holy Bible to gain a unique insight into the Jewish Scriptures. If you are tuning in to the Interpreter's Pulpit 101 podcasts for any of these reasons, then welcome indeed. It is high time to restore all things, and we thank you for allowing us to serve you in this manner. This is Les Aaron Gosling saying Kol Tov to all who love the Lord Yeshua.